You can open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, and we'll pick it up in verse 15. If you need a Bible, lift up your hands. The ushers will get a Bible to you. Again, that's Romans chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 15. Hey, just some more information as you're finding your way there with the registration. We've kind of been able now to link some things, so you can go to Calvary Sierra Vista, CalvarySV.org, and register that way for either event, men's or women's. You can do it through your e-bulletin. How many of you guys do the e-bulletin? Quite a few. Okay, so you can do it with the e-bulletin. No e-bulletin yet. Come on. Come on. Nope. Rejecting, refusing, huh? Standing the ground. Because we don't want to change. I was going to ask something else, but we'll stop there. Or you can do it with the app. So you can go on the app. No, we don't have the app either. All right. There are envelopes for those who are still not in the 21st century. You can grab an envelope, put your money in there, drop in the agape box. A little bit of fun. So, hey, we cover all generations. There you go. So, hey, but anyway, you can do it with the app or online or with the e-bulletin or in person. So kind of trying to make it so people can do that. So that stuff's out there. Don't forget, on Thanksgiving Day, we will not be having a service that evening. Again, encouraging people to spend time with their family and enjoy Thanksgiving. So that Thursday will be canceled, okay? You guys ready? All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity today to study your word. And God, I do pray that as we are working through here in chapter 6 of Romans, as we're working through truths, Lord, that will impact and change our lives, God, give us understanding, not just with our minds, but with our hearts. And Lord, we do want to be the men and women you created us to be and that you saved us to be. So God, help us to have enough faith to believe you and to believe your word and then to walk in that. So God, I do pray just for a blessing this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we've been looking at for a while now in the whole idea of our justification and the fact that what Jesus did is what saves us and how important that is. And as Paul's trying to get that across, and then he made the great statement at the end of chapter 5 where he says, where sin abounds, grace superabounds, or grace abounds so much more. Then the first question in chapter 6 is, okay then, if that's true, should we keep on sinning? Should we continue on sinning so that grace will abound even more? Which is kind of a silly question, but Paul knows how people think. Paul knows what goes on in people's minds, and especially what the enemy and what our flesh does. So he asks that question. Then the next 13 verses, he spends the time saying why that's such a foolish question. That's a foolish question because we're united with Christ, because we've been brought together with him. So therefore, why would we even think about sinning? Because we're united with him. And that's what we've been looking at for a while. Now, it sort of shifts, because at the end there, in the end of that section, in verse 14, Paul says, listen, we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. So some may ask, oh, if I'm under grace, then does that mean that the law is no longer restraining me and I should sin? Not continue in sin, but should I just sin? In other words, it's okay if I sin because God will forgive me. Some Christians have that attitude. We may kind of raise our eyebrows, but some Christians go, or here's what we say, it's just a little one and I know he'll forgive me. So Paul's into that. Paul knows, because, and I love the way he does that. Being a rabbi, he kind of acts like he's having a conversation with somebody, right? And he asks a question and then he begins to answer that. So listen, he brought up the whole fact that we're under grace. And you know, here's a bummer thing, that so many people do not want to teach about grace because they're afraid of exactly what Paul is talking about, that people will continue in sin if we teach grace. Let me tell you something. If you don't teach grace, you don't teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's worse. And that's more dangerous. And listen, grace never is a license to sin. As a matter of fact, we're going to learn today, grace sets us free from sin. So Paul asks that question in verse 15. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? So again, is that question that I kind of alluded to. And here's the thing. He's saying what's implied in the question is the fact that it's the law that keeps us from sinning. That's so not true. But yet people think that. Listen, if I have barriers put up, if I have boundaries put up, that's what's going to keep me from doing the things that I shouldn't do. Well, in some ways that's true, but wouldn't you rather have freedom not to sin than boundaries in your life? And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Listen, you put up all of these boundaries and all of these signs and all of the do's and don'ts, you're going to get in trouble. Here's what he says. It's grace. And grace sets you free. You are now united in Christ. You're now free to serve God. How cool is that? So, should I sin? Should I sin? He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And he says, no way, Jose, right? He says, certainly not. Absolutely not. Why would you even, here's my translation of that. Why would you ask such a stupid question? Right? That's what he's saying. Now, why would that even be in your head as a Christian? Yeah, I think that's important. Why would that even be in your head? Why would you even want to go there? Well, some of us, if we're really honest, we want to live as close to the edge as possible without going over. And listen, I think we should, in the world, live on the edge. That way we don't take up too much space. But not sin-wise, you don't want to get as close to sin without getting burnt. You want to stay far away from sin. So he says, why would you even ask that question? So now he's going to spend time explaining. Once again, it's not the same as verse 1. Verse 1 is a sinful lifestyle. Should we continue in a sinful lifestyle that grace may abound, right? And he's asking that. Now, this question is, because grace is so abounding, why not sin anyway? And he's going, no. You guys aren't understanding anything I'm saying. Isn't it kind of cool to think about Paul covered all these things that people bring up generation after generation after generation after generation? Here's what I found. If you read your Bible, it has most of the answers to the questions you're asking. Just got to read your Bible. So he asks that question, then he says, listen, verse 16, do you not know? Oh. Paul says, here's the thing. There are things you and I should know. And if we know these things, they're going to affect our behavior. They're going to affect our character. They're going to affect who we are. So I love this. Listen, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. Now, I think he's getting into an area that is maybe a little bit hard for us to understand, because he's talking about slavery. We've got some memory and history about slavery in our country that I think kind of skews this some. But also, in Rome, when Paul was writing, do you know when Paul was writing this? At least one-third of the population in Rome were slaves. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. As a matter of fact, at one point, they were thinking of passing a law making the slaves wear a certain dress, a certain clothing, so everybody would know they were slaves. And then they thought about it and they go, if we do that, all of the slaves are going to realize how many slaves there really are, and there's going to be an uprising, and we're going to be in serious trouble. So they nixed that idea so they couldn't recognize one another. And listen, usually a lot of the slaves were from capturing foreign countries, capturing other places. They would wipe out those cities. They'd bring the captives back as slaves. That was one way. Other people just indentured themselves to slavery, you know, and maybe they couldn't afford things, or maybe they were so poor. They say, hey, I'll just work for you. I'll just be your slave so I can have food on the table. So listen, it was huge in that day. And not only that, most of the church he was writing to could have been slaves, or at one time slaves who are now free. So my point is, Paul is bringing this up because this is an illustration that is so close to them, they could understand, they could get it, it would click. And here's what he's saying, and this is what's important. He's not saying that you, because you have the master, you obey that master as a slave. Here's what he's trying to get across, and this is what has to get in our hearts. The one we obey proves whose slave we are. Do you get that? That's entirely different, right? The one you obey proves whose slave you are. That's what Paul is getting across. So he says, should we continue in sin? Certainly not. Or, dumb question, he says, do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one's slaves. You're that one's slave whom you obey, whether, and here's the thing that he's going to go on, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. So bottom line, he's saying, which way do you want to go? Do you want to be a slave to sin? Listen to this definition of sin. This is a great definition of sin. It says, sin is the terrible, life-wrecking, soul-damning reality that resides and grows in every unredeemed human heart like an incurable cancer. Even when men try and escape from sin, they cannot. And when they try to escape its guilt, they cannot. And the greatest gift God could give to fallen mankind is freedom from sin, and it's that very gift he offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. When we understand the destruction of sin, we would never ask a question like that. And God has set us free from that. So he lets us know, yet there's all these lies that go on. And all of these lies were told either by others or in our minds. Have you ever noticed that most of our battle in Christianity and walking with the Lord and believing the Lord is just right here? It's all in our heads, right? We got to battle, man. We got to fight. We got to fight through those thoughts that come in. Peter put it this way, although he was talking about teachers, I think he's talking about, you know, those voices in our head, not the illness kind, but just the voices that come, right? Listen, in 2 Peter 2, 18 and 19, he's talking about false teachers. He says, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh and through lewdness the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. So he's saying, listen, those teachers come in and they try and pull you back into that. And then he says this, and this is important in verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves to corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he's brought into bondage. And Peter is letting us know, just like Paul, think about it. When you believe that and you go that direction, now you're under bondage to that thing that drew you in, and you've chose your by yourself to put yourself in that position. And he says, man, we're not those people. Jesus talks about, in Matthew, Jesus tells us the famous thing a lot of us know, no one can serve two masters, right? For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, it's kind of the same thing, because some of us are slaves to money, aren't we? Some of us are slaves to success. Some of us are slaves to fashion. Some of us are slaves to relationships. Some of us are slaves to our own emotions. Are you kind of getting where we're going with that? We got to think through this, and we got to think through this together, and we got to understand this morning we're probably sitting next to a slave, and the person sitting next to us is sitting next to a slave, if you know what I mean. We got to get some honest thinking going on here. And then listen, Jesus says in John 8, 33 and 34, he's talking to the Pharisees and he's telling them that, you know, they were in bondage, and he talks about being set free. And their answer is, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, listen, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is letting us know, listen, do you not know that whomever you present yourself to, that one is the one that you're in bondage to. Whether it's sin that leads to death, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think that sounds so cool, right? Sin that leads to death. Or, I like the other one, or obedience leading to righteousness. Or we're going to find out a little later on, obedience that leads to freedom. Elizabeth Elliot tells the story of a dog, and I'm just going to try and tell it instead of read it. She tells the story. She was in Scotland, and she watched a Scottish collie sheepdog doing its thing. And if you've ever watched sheepdogs, they're kind of cool, aren't they? Because, man, they just do it so well. But what she noticed was interesting. She noticed that the eyes of the dog were always on the sheep, whether he was chasing one or whether he was kind of keeping them all in order. His eyes were on the sheep, but his ears were attentive to the shepherd who had the whistle. And whatever the shepherd would blow the whistle, the dog would respond instantly. And listen, here's what she said. That made her realize that dog was living to its fullest potential by being obedient to the whistle. Isn't that kind of cool when you think about it? That dog was free to be what God created that dog to be by obedience. That's what Paul is telling you and I. Obedience shouldn't be something that we would think of as restraining us and constricting us. And, you know, some people act like, well, if I really follow Jesus and I'm obedient to him, I'm going to be miserable. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If you follow Jesus and you're obedient to Jesus, you're going to have freedom like nobody else has freedom. And he's telling us, man, and then you have freedom to righteousness. Now listen, he's shifting a little bit. He's kind of shifting the whole thing because he lets us know that obedience leads to righteousness. Now he's shifting from that justification. Remember we talked about justification is a fact that we need to know. Because we're in Christ, we are justified. Now he's moving a little bit and letting us know that that needs to be something that is played out in our lives. That's called sanctification, another big theological term. Sanctification is this: as we grow in Christ, we grow in holiness, we grow in righteousness, our lives take on a change, and we change. So here's what Paul's saying. You want to be all that God created you and intended you to be? Then here's what you need: obedience. Simple obedience, like that dog. And that dog was the happiest dog, probably the bestest dog ever. I had a dog that was the exact opposite. I had a dog that, listen, I had a dog that would go hunting every night. She was a husky, and she kind of reverted back into her wild side. And listen, every night, that dog, there was not a fence that I could make to keep that dog in. She would climb the fence. She would go out. She would hunt every night. She would never eat food. If I fed her, it was there in the morning. She'd go eat something wild or some neighbor's tame stuff. But she would go out and eat, and she would hunt. And here's the crazy thing, though. Every morning, she was outside the gate, not in the yard, outside the gate, all repentive. I could never figure out, dog, you can get out, why can't you get back in? And she would lay at the gate, and I'd go to the gate, and she would be so bummed because she knew she blew it. She knew she did wrong. And she'd have this repentive heart. You know how dogs repent, right? And she's all repentive, and I'd let her in. Next night, same thing. Next morning, same thing. Over and over and over, we would go through this. You know what I eventually had to do? I eventually had to chain that dog up every night. Here's the moral. My dog lost her freedom by rebelling. The collie had complete freedom by obeying. Which one are we? You see, we got to realize, man, when we go out and we rebel and we do our own thing, we are not, listen, we're not gaining freedom. We're restricting our freedom. And we're going to be chained up. And eventually it leads to death, to destruction, to wrecking our lives. So Paul says, listen, whose slave are you? That's a cool question, isn't it? So which one are you? Now listen, I love, he's going to encourage us. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Here's what Paul's saying. He's writing to the church, not to unbelievers. And he's letting us know as a church, listen, he says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, that's who we were. How do you become a slave to sin? You simply get born, right? You just get born. You're a slave to sin. Automatic. It happens. How do you become a slave to righteousness? You become born again. And you give your heart to Jesus. So listen, as he's talking about this, he says, listen, I love the way he put it. Yet, he goes, you were a slave to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. Not intellectual. Hey, there's a lot of people that intellectually agree with the things of Christianity, but their hearts aren't changed. Big difference. Big difference. This is not an intellectual thing. This is a heart issue. And he says, listen, you obeyed from the heart. And then here's what I love, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Here's what's interesting. Some of the translations word it in such a way, it's like that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. That's a bad translation. The doctrine to which you were delivered. Listen, you and I were delivered from bondage to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, some of us don't like that word doctrine, tough. I hear people say that. Well, I love Jesus, but I don't like doctrine. You can't say that. That makes no sense. Doctrine is teaching. That's all it is. And we kind of, it's got a negative connotation maybe in our generation, in our time. But listen, it's the doctrine. It's the doctrine that delivered you. Do you understand that? It's the truth. Doctrine, we could plug in truth. Truth delivered you when you obeyed it from your heart. When you got it in your heart, man, I love this. He says, that obeyed you and you went, listen, you went from being the slave to sin. And listen what he says, you have been set free. You've been set free. Someone came and unlocked the chains and let you be free, and you've been set free from your sin. And listen, you became slaves of righteousness. Wow. Now, they would get the slavery thing. We maybe not. So maybe we should word it this way. You've been set free to be a servant of righteousness, or to serve righteousness. For the first time, I think, you know, if you hear when we do invitations and people accept the Lord, when I'm praying for them, I always pray that now they're free for the first time in their life to serve God. And I believe that's important. I believe we need to understand that. Here's what Paul's saying. You get this in your heart, your life is going to change. Your world is going to change. And here's a crazy thing. You're going to change the world around you. And so listen, because you obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, he says that sets you free, and now you are a slave to righteousness. Listen carefully. You don't have to become a slave to righteousness. That's not something you become. That's something you are as a Christian. Christian, believe that. Start believing that. Here's what I'm convinced of. If we would really believe Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 1, 2, 3, 4. Listen, if we would believe what the Bible tells us, how awesome is this whole idea that right now, if you're born again, right now, you're a slave of righteousness. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. But you know what happens? Something starts whispering in our ears. Something starts going off in our head. And here's what we think. Oh, you don't know what I just did. You don't even know what I did on the way to church. You don't even know what I did last night. You don't know what happened. No, 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 no. That's not true in my life. Yes, it is. It is true. You need to begin to believe that. You need to begin to process that in your heart. And you need to trust God. Here's this thing. This is called faith. By faith, believe what God says. Put it in your heart. Trust Him. And here's the crazy thing. I think a lot of us, we kind of, okay, well, maybe. But man, it's not true about me. No, if you're born again, it is true about you. And you need to walk in it. And you need to understand it. Look how he goes on. Look at verse 19. He says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Here's what Paul's saying. I think it's kind of interesting where he goes here. He says, listen, I'm using this human analogy. Paul understands, talking about slavery and serving and a master. He's understanding that probably might have a few negative connotations and not be so positive. But here's what he says. That's the only illustration I could come up with that would get to your heart. Because listen, and there's some things we can't understand spiritually that are, you know, that are in a dimension that we don't live in, that we can't get a hold of. So here's what Paul's doing, is he's putting it in a dimension that we can believe. And he says, listen, I'm just using a human analogy to get you to understand how great this salvation is that you have and how wonderful it is for you right now. Right now. Not to get you to heaven. Heaven's cool. I really want to go there. I think it's a great thing. But right now in your life, you've been set free from something. So he says, listen, I'm using this human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Someone said it this way. I want to be as good of a saint as I was as a sinner. That's kind of a cool way to think about it, right? Because some of us sinned really well. And listen, here's what he's saying. He says, listen, you presented yourself, you did that. And you grew in lewdness, you grew in grossness. And unrighteousness. Now he says, listen, the flip side of that is present yourself to God now. It's kind of cool, some of the songs we sang and the lyrics that were in that. Listen, present yourself to God. Give yourself to him. And see what he does with you, because it will be amazing. So Paul here challenging us and letting us know, just as you were the one leading to more, you know, listen, when you presented yourself, some of us remember when you presented yourself to lawlessness? And sin, it led to more sin and more sin and more sin. But he goes, listen, then the flip side of that is true. Present yourselves as slaves to righteousness. Listen what he says, for holiness. If you begin to believe God, sanctification is going to begin to happen in your life. And you're going to grow in sanctification. And you're going to be changed. I think too many of us, here's what some of us are thinking, yeah, but man, Maybe I could do it for a day, but tomorrow, man, I'm going to blow it. Or some of us are already thinking next week. Some of us are already thinking next weekend. I'm going to blow it. I know I'm going to blow it. And we kind of get that defeatist attitude. Here's what I want you to do. Try this exercise. Quit worrying about tomorrow. Quit worrying about next week. Here's what I want you to think about right now in this moment. Now, I know it's hard to sin in church, but listen, right now, in this moment, trust God. Trust God. Believe God. And the next moment, believe God. Right now, in this hour, believe God. Then don't worry about the next hour. When that hour comes, then you believe God in that hour. Are you kind of getting what I'm saying? Here's what's going to happen. Holiness is going to begin to take shape in your life, and it's going to begin to define who you are. But what he's telling us in verse 19, you're either going to serve sin or you're going to serve righteousness. It's one or the other. The infamous theologian Bob Dylan said this, you've got to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. How true, how true. And that's all that Paul is saying. I kind of think Bob, at that time in his life, sort of really grasped the understanding of Romans 6, 15 through 23, and he got a hold of it. Listen, you're going to do it. That's a fact. You ought to download that song and listen to the whole thing. It's got some great lyrics, but back to this. Listen, he says, as you're slaves of righteousness for holiness. Now check this out, verse 20. I love this. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Right? Right? Come on. When you were a slave to sin, how righteous were you? Not very, right? You were free. You didn't even think about the things of God. You didn't care about the things of God. You were free from that. Here's the flip side. Listen, he's going to say it in some different words, but I'm going to just do it real quick. When you were a slave to sin, you were free from righteousness. So let's flip that around. When you're a slave to righteousness, you're free from sin. Hallelujah, huh? You want to be, listen, you want to be that? Believe God. So listen, he says, when you're slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Verse 21, for what fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Oh, that's kind of heavy, right? Here's the fruit of sin. Guaranteed, the fruit of sin, death. There's no doubt that sin's appealing. There's no doubt that sin's pleasurable. The Bible tells us that. And it's all a deception and a smokescreen because eventually it destroys. Listen to what this person wrote. This is great. He says, this is what happened. He tells us here that the end of those things is death. Listen to this. Here's what you find in death. Man finds in death an end to every hope, to every project, and to all of his thoughts and plans. Does that describe sin well, not just death? In sin, man finds the end of, the finish of, the destruction of every hope, the destruction of every project, the destruction of every one of his thoughts. That's sin. And Paul says, listen, when you present your members to that, he goes, listen, you did things then that you were ashamed of. I don't hear very many people boast about their sinfulness. Now, I know some might say, well, come on, have you never watched reality TV? But as a believer, most of us, we don't even want to think about our past life. And it's kind of cool. Isn't it kind of cool how that sort of fades away? I've walked with the Lord for a few years now, and I think of my past life, and it's just getting more and more distant. I don't even know that guy anymore. He's so far away, and listen, there were things that, you know, you hid from others. Why? Because you were ashamed of it. You did it, but you were ashamed of it. And he goes, all of that leads to death. He goes, when you're walking and you're serving that somebody, it's horrible. But now, listen, here's the contrast. But now, having been set free from sin, there's that terminology again. He told us up here that what verse was it? Up above in verse 18 that we were set free from sin. Now in verse 22, you're set free. Are you kind of, listen, if you don't get anything else, get this. You're set free from sin. You don't have to come home, sit outside the gate, be all repentive, and come in and get chained up. You're free. You're free. You need to go chase those sheep, right? You need to go do your thing. Man, you're free. You have been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end is everlasting life. Now listen, I contrast verse 21 and 22. Verse 21 says, as you do lawless deeds, you become ashamed, and they lead to more, and then at the end of that is death. Does that sound like fun? I mean, just worldly thinking. The end of that is death. Or you become a servant of God, and you serve God, and what does he tell us? That brings the fruit of sanctification, holiness. The end of that is eternal or everlasting life. Which one do you want? Death? Everlasting life? That's sort of a no-brainer, isn't it? Now listen, because as he talks about everlasting life, that doesn't mean, I totally get that he's talking about you and I, we're going to live with God eternally, but everlasting life is right now. Remember what I said moment by moment? Why don't you enjoy everlasting life now? Now! What are you waiting for heaven for? Don't you want the day when Jesus comes and to get us? Don't you want there to be like no great change? You know what I mean? You've been spending time with him, hanging out with him. You've been doing things. You've been honoring him and glorifying him. Don't you want, when he shows up, don't you want to be that person that goes, oh, I was expecting you. You don't want to be that person that goes, oh, no. I wasn't expecting you. I didn't think you'd show up today, right? You want to be the one going, oh, man, I've been waiting. I've been looking for you. I'm so glad you're here. And that's what he's talking about. Listen, as you present yourself to God, The whole idea of sanctification, listen, it doesn't just happen. It's not just a, you know, an automatic thing. I believe justification happens the moment we're saved. Sanctification is a process in our lives by which we're changed more and more into the image of Christ. And he begins to move on us. And as we present ourselves to him, as we go before God and we go, here I am, you do with me whatever you want because I am yours. Have you ever noticed people who are in slavery, they do what their master said? Or we could use the example of the dogs, right? That one dog did everything the master told it to do, and it was never happier. My dog did nothing the master told it to do, and she was pretty miserable getting chained up, right? Think about it. That's just kind of an easy thing, right? So, having said all of that, Paul comes to his conclusion, and he says in verse 23, most of us know this, we use this for unbelievers, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Back to verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but we're under grace? How stupid can you be, right? Come on. And Paul says, listen, for the wages of sin, what you earn by sinning. Most of us, when we work, you want your wages, don't you? Like two people nodded their head. Come on, you guys, don't you like work to get money? Is that, you know what I'm saying? You work, and when you're done working, you expect to be paid, don't you? You expect that check or cash or whatever you get. Check this out. When you sin, you're going to get the wages. Oh, you're not going to like them. That's kind of interesting when you think of it that way, right? When you sin, you are earning wages. And Paul tells us the wages of sin is death. And we already talked about death. Death is the end and destruction of everything we are and everything we have. That doesn't sound like fun. But you're going to get that. But, I love this, but check this out. The gift of God, listen carefully, not the wages from God. Are you picking up on this? The gift. Some of your translations might even say the free gift. I always think that's kind of weird. I always think it's the gift that's free, don't you? When someone hands me a gift and goes, oh, by the way, you owe me $20. You know, that's not a gift. I just bought that from you. I had a guy do that to me once. Hey, man, he asked me, you want this, this, and this? And it was something for my mini. And I go, yeah, sure. And he sends them to me with a bill. I'm thinking, that wasn't a gift. I just paid for those. So I always think as a gift is free. That's just my thinking. I get uptight when people go, here's a gift, give me money. So, but listen, the gift of God, or if you want free in there, that's fine. The free gift of God, the gift of God, isn't that, doesn't that just sound good? The gift of God is eternal life. You don't earn it. He gives it to you. All you have to do is trust him. Believe him. And the gift of God, what does he say is eternal life? How? In Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's the question. Who are you serving? You gotta resolve that in your heart. And you gotta understand something. Listen carefully. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you've accepted the work that he's done on the cross, I don't care how beat down you are this morning. I don't care how beat up you are this morning. Listen to me carefully. If you've accepted him, you are justified. And now you are a slave to righteousness. Quit believing the enemy. Stop it and believe God and walk in that and understand that. And he's given you that. And all you have to do is receive that. And then what I like to say, flesh it out, make it real in your life. That's the good news, isn't it? I don't know about you guys, but I'm going through this study in Romans and I'm going, man, I just want to get more saved. You know, I'm liking this because you know what? I'm finding out we have a great God. And we have a God who's on our side. And here's the crazy thing. We have an all-powerful God on our side. And we got this other one who keeps coming up and hassling us. What have we learned so far? Oh, we can tell him we're dead, right? I died to that, sorry. Or we could say, dude, you're not my master. I don't have to obey you. Get out of here. I'm going to obey my master. And as I say, we are free to serve God. We have the freedom to do that. So, you know what? Let's do it, huh? I want to change the world, don't you? Don't you want to change the world? Aren't you kind of like, how many of you, like, you watch politics and stuff and you go, you know, you're kind of like fed up with it, right? And you're just fed up. Well, you know what? Let's forget all of that. Let's change the world by preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And let's get out there and fix this place so that it will be the place that God intends it to be. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge of your word. We thank you, God, as we just think about this. And Lord, it is pretty simple. It's coming down to that chorus and lyric by Bob Dylan, "You've got to serve somebody." Might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And Lord, I pray that this morning after reading this, I know some of us, we've had battles. We even had battles on our way to church. Struggles, real life issues going on. Had them last night, had them this week. And I know a whole bunch of us, we fell into temptation. And we went in the wrong direction. And I know the enemy is there to kick us and beat us down even more. But the Bible tells us that we're free to serve God. That we need to present our members, present ourselves to Him as servants. The Bible tells us if we confess that sin that we fell into, He's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I pray that today we would believe the reality of who we are in you. And we would believe the reality that by your blood we have been set free to serve our God. We have been set free to become that slave of righteousness that produces in us holiness or sanctification. Be honored in our lives, we pray, God. And I'm going to ask you to stay in an attitude of prayer for another moment or two. And you know what? Maybe you're here today and you're hearing this message and you're saying, I want that true in my life. I want to know God. I want to have that relationship. Maybe even you're thinking, man, how great it would be to be free from sin that's beating me up. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to believe God. You need to trust God. The Bible tells us, listen, as we just read, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And God is right now offering you that gift. If you want to receive it, you need to let Him know that you know today that you're a sinner. And that you're sorry for your sin. And that you're going to trust Him. The fact that He died on the cross for your sin. You're going to put your faith in that. And here's the good news. All of your sin will be washed away. And you will be born again. And you will be able to now serve God and serve righteousness. So if you want to do that, I'm going to say a prayer. You can say it with me out loud or you can say it silent. But here's the deal, man. It's got to be sincere. Even in the section we read, Paul says it's got to come from your heart. You got to do this, obey from your heart. So it has to be sincere. Maybe you've left the Lord for a while. Maybe you've walked away for, you know, several months, maybe a couple years, and now today you want to come back. Say this prayer with us. Jesus, today I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sin. And now I'm asking you to forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you today for your forgiveness. And now I'm asking you to come into my heart. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Today, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If you said that prayer with me and you meant it, listen, we're going to ask you to do something. I just want you to lift up your hand so I can pray for you and encourage you in the decision you've made. I see yours here in the center. God bless you. Anyone else? Greatest decision you'll ever make. Father, we pray for that person, that individual that raised their hand and said yes. And God, we pray that you would make yourself so real right now. And I pray you'd make the truths that we read here this morning so real in that individual's life that they would know that at this moment, all of that sin is washed away. The guilt and the shame is gone. And now they have that righteousness. They can serve righteousness. For the first time, they can serve you and love you. So encourage them and strengthen them. And for all of us, God, we do want to go out. We do want to make a difference. We want to see this world changed. And God, we know that that can happen pretty easily, one heart at a time. So God, use us. Make us those lights. Make us those ones that draw others to you. That we would really believe your word. And that your word would shine through us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's celebrate with that person who raised their hand.